Mark and Marcus.
Awesome. First, I want to thank all these guys who've done everything today, because I know for a lot of them it took a lot of courage to get up here. A little bit of convincing at times, but they did it. But what I really want to talk about today is detours. If you're a follower of Christ, then you have a destiny. You have two destinies. The first one is eternal. You have been promised eternal life in heaven, worshiping God our Father. But you've been given a destiny in this life as well. But you can't get to that destiny without a few detours and a few disruptions. See, we see it over and over again in the Bible. We see Joseph. We see the Israelites. We really don't see any examples in the Bible of someone fulfilling God's word without him first taking them on a detour. And we'll look at the life of Joseph. We'll look at the Israelites, and we'll look at an example that Paul had. See, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, Joseph's addressing his brothers, and he tells them, "Don't fear, because you did actions against me that you meant for evil, but God meant it for good." He said to his brothers, "I know that you weren't happy with me. And I know you did things that you were trying to hurt me. But God took care of me. And because God took care of me, I'll take care of you in return." We'll go back to the beginning of that. We'll go to chapter... Chapter 37, 38. And we see this is where it all starts. We see Joseph is born into a family that's really dysfunctional. We see that Joseph, the second verse, it says, we know nothing else about Joseph, but that he's son of Jacob. And we see he's a tattletale. Second verse. It says, and he came to his brothers and brought a bad report of his brothers. And so we see Joseph was a tattletale. We also see he was his father's favorite. That wasn't Joseph's fault, but he wouldn't let his brothers forget it. We see he had two dreams that he shared with his brothers. He didn't have to share these dreams, but he wouldn't let his brothers forget he was father's favorite. He wore the coat that Jacob gave him everywhere he went. He even wore it out into the field, shepherding sheep. And finally, his brothers had enough. And they plot. He is sent out to look for his brothers, to come back to his father and report. And we see that he wears his coat out. And when his brothers see him coming, they plot to kill him. But one of them says, "No, let's not kill him." And so they strip him of his coat. I think this is something we can apply to our lives. Sometimes on our detours, God strips us of something we care about the most. He takes away the things that keep us from him. And that's what this coat did. He used this coat, he put it between trusting God. He wore it because he was the favorite. That was something he did, right? That's what he thought. So his brothers take that away from him. They take away what he cares about the most. And then they throw him in a well, but it's not just any well, it's a dry well. Sometimes God puts us in a dry spot. And we're thinking, where have you gone? Why is there nothing here? Why am I alone? But we're not really alone, are we? We just think it. It feels that way. God will put us in a dry spot. And then we know Joseph is sold into slavery. And he's taken into Egypt and taken to Potiphar. And then what happens? Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. But what does Joseph say? He says, no. No, I know that's wrong. And in doing the right thing and running away, she steals part of his clothing. And he is punished for doing what was right. But we get to the end. We remember chapter 50, verse 19. And we can remember all this was meant for evil, but God still meant it for good. God was still there with him the entire time these bad things were happening, and he is still with us when bad things happen in our lives. Sometimes it isn't the way we thought it'd go. Sometimes we think we know where God is sending us. We know where we're supposed to be, and we think it's a straight line. But Joseph knew he had a gift of having and interpreting dreams. And I'm sure he thought, it's going to be a straight line. That's where I'm going. God had other plans. Sometimes it isn't a straight line. We have a detour, and we have disruptions. We see the Israelites leaving Egypt. We're all familiar with this story, I'm sure. We see the Israelites, they finally leave. Pharaoh allows them to leave with a little divine intervention. The Pharaoh decides it's probably best if these people just leave. And so they leave Egypt, but they knew where they were going. God didn't take them straight there, did he? First, he takes them down through the Red Sea. It tells us in Genesis why he did that, and it tells us in Exodus. Moses writes that God took them through the Red Sea because he was afraid that if they met an army, they would turn around and go back to Egypt. He knew what was best for them. So he took them on a detour. But we see it goes on, and we see that God does amazing things for the Israelites. He feeds them when they're hungry. Well, they don't like that food, so he gives them something else. And we see Moses. He goes up to talk to God. And he's up there 40 days. What do the Israelites decide to do? They decide, well, he must be dead. So we're going to worship something else. But God forgives them. God leads them by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. But they still don't get the point, do they? They don't get the point that God's with them. Instead, there are 12 spies sent out. To reach the promised land, they have to go through some pretty rough territory. 12 spies are sent out, and they come back, and they give their report. And most of them are scared. They say, we can't do that. We can't go to the promised land. They forgot God was with them. They didn't. They believed God existed because they would complain to God, wouldn't they? But they didn't believe in God. They didn't have faith in God. And as a result, they spent 40 years wondering. They spent 40 years wondering because their attitude was bad towards the situation they were in. And we see that after 40 years, they re-examined things. It's a new generation, and they look around and they go, we trust in God. God's the only one who can get us out of where we're at now. He's the only one who can give us the destiny we were promised. And so, they believe in God, and things get better. It's the same in our lives. If we don't have faith in God, we're not going to get where we're supposed to be. We're not going to be able to do the things God has called us to do if we don't trust in Him. If we don't trust in Him, and we see two things that happen with the Israelites. First, we see that they recognize they're in a tight spot. They recognize that only God can get them out of there. But what do they do second? Do they just believe in God and everything get better? No. They believe in God and then they have works. They do something about it. They act on their faith and things get better. They do what God has told them to do. And we see in James 2:14 through 17, it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we see just having faith isn't enough either. The Israelites have to do something. Likewise, we have to do something. We're in a tight place. Things aren't going so well for us. And first, we recognize we need God. We got to have God in our lives and things are going to get better, but we got to take it a step further. We got to have works. And now we see Paul. And we know Paul's life. We know that he was a Pharisee and he persecuted Christians. And we see in his letters, he was the best there was at what he did because he was zealous. But then one day on the road to Damascus, he's converted. And he realizes what he's doing is wrong, but that's not necessarily what I want to focus on about Paul either. I want to look at what he says in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 10, he talks about a thorn he has. This is his disruption. It says, he has cried out three times for God to take this away. But God tells him, my grace is enough. I am enough for you. Sometimes the disruption or the detour doesn't end in this life. Sometimes it's something we have to live with. We have to acknowledge it's there. We have to believe in God that He knows best. And there isn't anything we can do. There isn't anything we can do because it's there for the betterment of us. See, Paul says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But He said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Does that not sum up every detour and disruption we can have? Be it a bad day at work, be it a bad day at school, whether we go out and our car won't start, Maybe it can be something even worse. Maybe it can be that you've lost your job, that you just can't seem to find a way to make ends meet anymore. Sometimes it's whether it be a bully on the playground, or because we're Christians, people say bad things about us. We can delight in that because we know that through our weakness, God's power is made perfect. See, with a detour, sometimes we also try to fight it, don't we? How many of you have been driving down the road and you come across this big orange sign that says detour and has an arrow? And first thing we do isn't, oh, it's a detour, let's go. No, we all go, We all get a little bit grumpy, don't we? Because no one likes to see that sign. See, I remember the first detour I ever took. I was driving through Tullahoma. I used to work food industry. And if you've worked food industry, you know you don't want to eat whatever you're cooking. You want something else because it gets old really quick. So I'm driving through Tullahoma, and I see that orange sign. And in my head, I'm going, no, no. But I follow it. And I'm taking down the narrowest, bumpiest road in all of Tullahoma through an area which you're going, how is this going to get me where I'm going? But it does. And I'm on my way to Hardee's. I don't like fast food. Some of you knew that, some of you didn't. I don't like fast food. Hint, hint, Mama, if you want to take me out to eat, I'd prefer not to have fast food. That's a hint. I don't like fast food, but if I'm going to eat it, I'll eat Hardee's. Well, I get out of this detour, and what sign do I see in my rearview mirror? I see Hardee's. And in order for me to turn around and get back over there, I'm going to have to take another detour. And I don't like it. So, I ate at Wendy's. See, my point for that is... My point for that is, sometimes the detour doesn't always take us where we think we're going. Sometimes things change a little bit. Do you think Joseph thought he'd be second in command of Egypt? Probably not. It probably never even crossed his mind. Probably never crossed his mind. Do you think Paul ever thought when he was persecuting Christians, one day I'm going to be like them? One day I'm going to do everything I can for their God, for their Savior. I bet he never even thought of that. I bet that never crossed Paul's mind. But through a couple detours and disruptions, he wrote more letters in our Bible than any other man. And we see that he gave his all to God's kingdom. We have to accept our detours. We have to accept our disruptions, and we have to accept that we are weak sometimes. And we don't have to be sad about it. We don't have to be sad about it. Instead, we can delight. Because God says, I'm enough. I am enough for you. I'm all that you need. I can make you whole. You can look for me for strength. You can look to me for power, for guidance. Because I can give that to you. And oftentimes, on a detour, we forget that, don't we? We go and we think, well, I have a lot of money and I'm not real happy, so I'm going to go out and buy me a new car. You realize that doesn't make you happy either. So you buy a new house, it doesn't make you happy either. And then one day it all goes away. You don't have the money you once had. You don't have the house. You don't have the car anymore. Instead, you have nothing. You have nothing here. And we blame God. We say, God, why did you do this to us? Do we deserve this? Do we deserve to be punished? What did I ever do? In reality, God says, I'm bringing you down. I'm humbling you a little bit. I'm proving to you that you need me to make you happy. And we have to remember that through the good times and the bad. God says, if you trust in me, it will all be okay. It will all be okay. One of my favorite proverbs. It was written, it actually talks about the psalmist, the proverbs writer is saying, I see all these people and they claim to know you, but their actions don't live out your word. But they have everything nice. Everyone looks up to them. They're in charge of Israel. And then I see me and I see my brethren, and they aren't. They are beaten down regularly. They are hurt regularly, and they are mocked. And I just don't get it anymore. But when he looks at their lives, he sees something. He sees that they don't trust. They see that they claim God's name, but they don't trust, and that they aren't actually happy. That they are actually have all these things to try and make them feel better, and they don't. They don't work. And then he rejoices. He learned this the hard way. He was in a detour. He learned it the hard way. He was there and he fought God. He said, why? Why did you do this? Why am I down here? And the people who mock you are exalted on earth. And he sees the hard way that he actually can be happy because he has God. And because they don't, they won't have God. See, you can have God too. You can have the same thing that Paul had. You can have what Joseph had. Because you've been guaranteed two destinies, which I mentioned earlier. First one's here on earth. It's chronologically, it's the first one we're going to come to. It's the reason you weren't taken up to heaven on the day you were converted. It's there so we can live our lives for God. And the second is a home in heaven with our Father who loves us and whom we love. If you don't have that sort of relationship, if you're still fighting God in the detour, if you have a disruption and you're still saying, God, why me? You can make that right. Talk to one of the elders here. They're always willing to listen. Talk to one of godly men or women whom you would be more comfortable with. I guarantee they're going to be willing to listen too. They will be willing to stop everything and say, let's talk. If you haven't done that, please do while we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Before Jonathan or whoever has the closing prayer gets up here, I'd like to personally thank Jonathan for giving us this opportunity and the elders, and I'd like to thank Tommy for all the help he's given me and throughout this, and this was really good. So thanks.
Hey, make sure you just encourage our guys here. They did a great job this morning. It's tempting to say something like, that's the church of our future, right? Okay, but it's not. They're the church of today, right? And while this is something you can see, and please, once again, encourage them and tell them what a good job they did. Our teenage boys and girls here are amazing, okay? And they do so many things that you all don't get to see, probably, but other people do. And they're great ambassadors for Christ. They do wonderful things for the community, and people see Jesus through them on a daily basis. And so don't just encourage them today. Encourage them throughout their lives, right? Throughout their lives. All right, Corey is going to lead us in a closing prayer. Oh, hey, one more thing that I did forget to mention. Today is the final day to sign up for Winter Jam. Please see Matthew Holt. If you have money that you need to give him, it's $30 to go to that concert. See Matthew Holt. Thanks.
Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to come here and praise your name. And be with us through all the detours of life. And let us take with us through life the message that Jake has provided us. In Jesus' name, amen.